Hello, welcome back to Divide It with Jill. I'm Jill. So if you're new here, I talk about all things pop culture, TV shows, movies, music, and books. And yes, everything here is spoilers. But if you're a recurring listener, welcome back. So last week I talked about rom-coms, one of my favorite genres. And since we're halfway through season 6, I thought we should do monthly faves. Some of these are going to be kind of niche. In the past, I've done very basic favorites, like favorite song at the moment, favorite show. And there will be a few like basic ones in here, but I try to be a little bit more specific in the favorites in this episode. So I'm going to be talking about favorite musical movie moment, favorite character entrance in a TV show, favorite villain in a show, favorite TV couple, favorite Dancing with the Stars performance, favorite voice audition, favorite Love Island moment, favorite book I've read recently, favorite sad book, and of course we're gonna end the episode with a divided moment. So yeah, let's start from the top. So first one is favorite musical movie moment. I could not pick one. I have a few here, and that may or may not be the case for the rest of the favorites I'm going to tell you about. I just really couldn't pick. So the first one is in Pitch Perfect, when the trebles sang I've Got the Magic in Me. Oh my gosh, chills all over my body the first time I heard that. The Pitch Perfect movies are just perfection. It's just such a feel-good film and something you could like rewatch a million times. But this performance specifically just changed the trajectory of my life. The whole ensemble was incredible. And then Skylar Austin was just killing it with the vocals. And then Ben Platt comes in with his buttery tone. This is where I became a Ben Platt stan. Since this movie aired and he sang that, I have been obsessed with his music, obsessed with every project he's been in. He's just phenomenal. But yes, iconic musical moment. You know what? The entire movie is an iconic musical movie moment, you know? My next one is from one of my top 10 favorite movies. Yes, this may or may not be basic. Well, it is basic. I have talked about this movie before on the podcast, but I have to bring it back. So, Elf. There was this scene where Will Ferrell and Zooey Deschanel sing Baby It's Cold Outside. The whole scene is just so funny. From the second he hears her singing, and then he starts walking to the bathroom, and then it cuts to him just sitting on the sink. And he starts off like quiet, right? And she's just like going in, like just belting out this tune. And then progressively he starts getting louder, and then she finally hears him and she freaks out. And it's just so funny. I like that there was a balance of, oh, this is like a kind of a serious duet. Like it actually sounds good. You know what I mean? And then it switches over to this comedic moment. It's so good. My last musical movie moment is from Chicago. Just that beginning sequence. I've never seen anything like that before. The overture into all that jazz and just being introduced to Roxy and Velma and Fred and the choreography, the music, the camera angles. It was just genius. The whole thing is perfection, in my opinion. And, you know, I have a really soft spot for Chicago just because I actually performed all that jazz at my Sweet 16. It's still a core memory till this day. And so I just love that song and I love this movie and the musical. It's just so good. It's so good. Like, iconic. No one is doing it like this. Moving on to the next fave. So, favorite character entrance in a TV show. Klaus Mikkelsen's entrance in The Vampire Diaries. Okay, shock. We're talking about The Vampire Diaries. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while or been following me on any of my social medias, you would know that I am absolutely obsessed with The Vampire Diaries. It's in my top 5 favorite TV shows of all time. But Klaus's entrance specifically is just so iconic. The build-up to his arrival, putting him in Alaric's body and having him go to the school dance, and then that's where Bonnie and Elena find out and everybody finds out and they're like fighting in the school. Oh my gosh, it was just action-packed drama after drama. And then in the next episode, all the witches are switching his body into the real Klaus. And then they do this reveal where he comes out just looking so good and evil. And it was just epic. I can't even explain it. Like, you had to be there. You had to really be there. Oh my gosh. And then he goes, now that's more like it, with an accent. Good night. Good night. I will never forget watching that for the first time. Like, I wish I could go back in time and watch that again for the first time. That just changed the trajectory of the show. The original's, like, plot line was just so good. Elijah, Rebecca, the father of Klaus. The whole thing was just incredible. Incredibly done. Speaking of Vampire Diaries and originals, I want to talk about my favorite TV show villain. Can anyone guess who it is? Okay, so it's Kai in The Vampire Diaries. Listen, I feel like with Kai, he was just pure evil the entire season 6, and he really moved the plot of the season, and especially the ending where he puts Elena to sleep. Stop. This is the best Vampire Diaries villain, period. Listen, I love Catherine. I love Klaus. But I feel like with those characters, you see a little humanity, like sweet moments with each of the characters, but it still maintains like that evil character. But with Kai, he was just pure evil, like so sinister and scary. I remember I met the actor that plays Kai at a convention and I was like a little nervy. I was like, wait, he's gonna be just like Kai? No. But he really sold this character for me. Like, I just think he just played this character so incredibly well. And he was written so well. And he really brought the drama in season 6. Season 6 of Vampire Diaries was probably one of my favorites. Okay, moving on from the Vampire Diaries. This next one also might be predictable, but I have to be real. So my favorite TV couple is Kate and Anthony from Bridgerton. Easily top 5. I mean, obviously this can change, but right now, it's Kate and Anthony. Speaking of Kate and Anthony, they just released a new clip today. Like a little teaser for the new season that's coming out in May. And oh my gosh, was it everything and more. The chemistry is incredible, of course. Like, the smiling and the flirting with the eyes was there. Oh, they just look so happy in this clip. Like, so, so happy. And then they ended off with a kiss at the end. And they're dancing. And I can't. I actually can't. I recorded my reaction to this clip on my TikTok if you want to see it. I was going absolutely feral. I truly was going crazy. I can't even imagine what other scenes they have together in this next season. I think I might pass away. Like, I really might. But yes, I'm so excited for the new season with Colin and Penelope. And there are a few clips of Colin and Penelope, and I have equally freaked out at those. Oh, they're giving. I'm excited for their story. Like, let's get into that. Next is my favorite Dancing with the Stars performance. Okay, this one I really couldn't narrow down to one. So I have three. The first one is Max and Meryl's Cha-Cha Fusion at the finale. First of all, their chemistry the entire season, everyone really thought that they were dating. I was convinced that they were dating. They just had such good chemistry on the dance floor, in their video packages, in any interview I would see them in. I was just like, wait, are they not in love in real life? Like, I'm confused. But this dance specifically, the amount of times I've rewatched this is actually crazy. It's just so good. The choreography, the outfits, the song choice. It was just everything. Like, if I was a judge on the show, I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna need like 50 more 10 paddles over here because I just can't simply give you one 10. You know what I mean? It was just so good. And then another Dancing with the Stars performance that I love is Allison and Riker's Pirates of the Caribbean dance. I will stand on this hill. That also deserved more than a 10. You know what I mean? Like, the production of the dance, the costumes, the choreography. Riker is incredible. Allison slayed with this choreography. Ugh, this is another one that I love to rewatch all of the time. And I feel like every Disney-themed episode on Dancing with the Stars just always hits. Everyone always steps up their game during this week. And Allison and Riker really just exceeded all my expectations. It was just so good. Do yourself a favor and watch this right now. Okay, my last Dancing with the Stars performance that I love, Whitney and Milo. Their Halloween contemporary piece. Stop. Stop it right now. Milo blew me away in this performance. Whitney is probably one of my favorite girl pros. And this dance was just out of this world. I can't even explain it. There was like a storyline. Ugh. The costumes, the makeup, just them being in this small space that the production made. It was just so good. I love it. I also really love like the Halloween themed episodes too. But there are so many Dancing with the Stars performances that I'm obsessed with. But yeah, those are just a few that I love. Another competition show I love is The Voice. I have been watching The Voice since season one. Wait, does that make me sound like really old? Oh my god, I've literally been a stan of The Voice. I've never missed a season. And there are two voice auditions that I always re-listen to all the time. And it's Jermaine Paul. He sings Complicated by Avril Lavigne back in season two. He actually won that season of The Voice. So well deserved. But the way he sang it was just so different from the original, of course, and just such a different take on the song. And his voice is amazing. The next one is Will Champlin. He sings Not Over You by Gavin DeGraw. And I just love his voice. And I feel like when you hear it, you're like, oh, that's Will. That's Will Champlin's voice. You know what I mean? And I just love that song as well. And he just killed it. Like, I don't understand why the coaches took so long to turn around. I would have, first note, I would have pressed my button 1000%. His voice is just so unique. My next favorite is from Love Island. I am a Love Island stan. This is my favorite like dating show ever. Like this exceeds Love is Blind. This exceeds Bachelorette for me. Specifically the UK version. I don't know. I haven't watched the Love Island USA version for some reason. I just feel like it's going to be weird not hearing the accents. So I haven't watched it. Let me know what your favorite season of the USA version is and maybe I'll give it a go. But the UK one is just everything to me. Throwback to when Andrew said to Tasha, a little tit or whatever. I remember when he said this, I was crying. Like, tears were coming out of my eyes watching that scene just unfold. I believe he was talking about his experience in Casa Amor with Coco, and he, like, licked her tit. I can't. I actually cannot. That was probably one of my favorite seasons of Love Island, like, hands down. Andrew, I don't think we'll ever live it down. I can't, but yes, that is one of my favorite Love Island moments. And then actually there's another funny moment in that season that I just remembered. Davide saying, you're a liar, you're an actress. I remember when this first aired, everyone was loving that. I was loving it. It was just so iconic. That was a great season, to be honest. I just watched Love Island All Stars and the drama was really good. I will say the drama was really good. I feel like Georgia really brought the drama this season. The whole Toby thing was also a big plot line in All Stars. And then Molly was getting upset with Georgia. Ugh, it was good. It was good. And then the Josh and Georgia drama, that was something. And Anton. But yeah, this was a great season. I really wasn't expecting to love it as much. I mean, like, I love every Love Island season, so I was just a little skeptical at first. I was like, this is an interesting cast. But then I started watching and I was like, wait, this is everything. Next thing I want to talk about is my favorite book I've read recently. I love Elle Kennedy. I feel like she's one of my favorite authors right now. I've just loved every book I've read of hers, like the Off Campus series, the Briar U series. I just love it. So she just came out with this book called Girl Abroad, and I still have to read it. But the one before that was The Graham Effect. I loved this book. I really felt like a schoolgirl reading this. Ryder and Gigi's dynamic and chemistry in this was just perfect. And there are some characters from the off-campus series that make an appearance in this book, which made it even better. And it just really made me smile. It does help to have read the off-campus series so you could really feel the feels. I just love a hockey romance now. Like, Elle Kennedy made me love hockey romance. I need more. If you have any recs for hockey romance books, let me know. I have read Icebreaker, so give me other suggestions. It was just so lighthearted and just good vibes, you know? Because I feel like a lot of her other books, it is light and fun, but there are a few serious topics in some of her books. But I feel like this one, it was just good vibes and it was lighthearted. I mean, yes, there was a little drama here and there, but it wasn't as like dark as some of the other stuff that she has written for her characters in the other books. Moving on. So I'm a big concert girl. I love the entire process and experience of a concert, except going on Ticketmaster and trying to get the tickets. That is probably the most stressful bit. Ugh. I can't. I have to be up like 3 hours before and be ready on the site, and then plus the waiting in the queue. And then sometimes when you get in, there's like no seats left, or the prices are just extremely high that I just quit on site sometimes. The ticket prices are so weird on Ticketmaster, because sometimes you'll get a spot on the floor that, like, say, like, the third row, right? It's going to be, like, $300, right? And then 10 rows behind, it's, like, $700. Like, what's going on? Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but that's happened to me quite a few times. So, yes, I definitely think that getting the ticket is the most stressful. But after that, it's amazing. You know, seeing that pop up on your wallet, like, the confirmation of it, just the anticipation leading up to it, trying to pick an outfit for it, listening to all of their albums on repeat until the day of the concert. Oh, nothing like it. What a time to be alive. And then the actual day of the concert comes and, you know, you fall in line to get the merch and you're anticipating like going to your seat. Oh, it's so good. And then of course, when the lights dim, there's nothing like it. And then, you know, the concert's about to start. Oh, it's so good. I can't. So yes, as much as I love to experience these concerts live, I do love a good concert film. And my favorite concert film is Shock, the Jonas Brothers. How many people are shocked? This is another thing that I always talk about on the podcast, but the Jonas Brothers 3D concert experience, especially that beginning bit with Big Rob, that whole entire like skit of them with all the girls going crazy and they had to like get out of the car and they're like being chased down the street. And then that first song they sing, the orchestral beginning was just so powerful. And then the drums come in. I have chills thinking about this. And then they sing That's Just the Way We Roll. It was perfect. And then Demi Lovato and Taylor Swift, they're in this. Wow, wow, wow. The things I would have done to experience this concert, particularly in person. Ugh, I wish. This was just so iconic. I also really do love the homecoming Beyonce one. Ugh, Beyonce's just an icon of our times. And then, of course, Never Say Never Justin Bieber. Stop. The way that I was wearing a purple hoodie every single day after I watched this, like, it was absolutely crazy. And the only thing that I was listening to was Justin Bieber at this time. But yes, I wish every artist can do this. You know what I mean? Because I love to, like, just rewatch everything back, like, on the big screen. You know, sometimes I have a shaky hand, and sometimes the audio is weird or it's blurry. Sometimes it is nice to watch it on the big screen, have it look like really good quality with, like, really good audio. Last favorite I want to discuss with you is the saddest book I've ever read in my entire life. The book is called A Little Life. The author is Hanya. I don't want to butcher the author's name, but I don't know what this author went through, because this book felt a little too real. Unless she just like made this all up. I don't know. But it is a very difficult read. This may or may not be my favorite sad book. The plot was just so well developed. The characters were so well written. I will be honest, when I was reading it at first, it's a little bit confusing because it does switch from characters to characters, and it's not like a straight like POV with some of the other books I've read. And so you really have to lock in when you're reading this. But it's such an amazing book. There's a lot of heavy topics, and the experience that these characters go through, especially Jude, it was very, very heartbreaking. I don't think I've ever cried that much reading a book. Like, listen, I cry. I'll tear up and I'll cry. But this one, I was sobbing. It was like uncontrollable sobber, snot and all. It was just so sad. I really did love Willem and Andy and Harold. They were really there for Jude throughout the story.
Oh gosh, I actually might start crying.
Oh. I would say if you want to read this book, definitely check the trigger warnings before reading it. The basic preface of this book is that it's about like four friends in New York City and it follows their lives. Aspiring actor Willem, painter JB, architect Malcolm, and litigator Jude. Over the years, you just follow their friendship and how they grow together, how they drift apart, their love life, their success, their struggle. It's a lot. It's a lot. But yes, if you are looking to sob uncontrollably, definitely pick this book up. Now moving on to the last segment of this podcast episode, which is the divided moment. So recently, Ayo Edebiri and Paul Mescal, I think she posted the picture of them, and Emily Henry, who wrote People We Meet on Vacation and Beach Read. I'm pretty sure both of those books are becoming films, and Emily Henry reposted it, and I believe the lady that is adapting Beach Read reposted this picture of them. And everyone was like, oh my gosh, they're going to be in a rom-com together. They're going to be in Emily Henry's story. Divide it. What? I did see her on SNL and I thought she was funny, but I haven't seen like her other projects. But I do love Paul Mescal. And I have been saying, I even said this like a few episodes back when I was strictly talking about Paul Mescal's movies, where I was like, I need to see him in a rom-com. Did I manifest this? Did I predict the future? Like, what's happening? What do we think? Do we think they will be starring in an Emily Henry story? Stay tuned. Stay tuned, people. Stay tuned. But yes, that is it. That is the end of the podcast episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to follow me on Divide It With Jill on TikTok and Instagram, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye!